Okay, we're rolling. All right, thank you, Ludovic, for agreeing to be interviewed. We enjoyed your two presentations during FossNorth, one from about CryptPad, which I suppose is sort of newer product for you, and also around XWiki. And I've got a couple of questions, I guess, from those presentations that I'd love to ask you.
Great, thank you.
Look, the first is, I guess, you know, particularly when you were starting at the beginning with XWiki, like what was the decision for you around being a self-funded and also being open source?
Yeah, so first, let's start with open source. Open source was more like natural, so because we built a wiki, and wikis are an invention of open source, so it felt kind of natural, like as I learned wikis through open source, if I wanted to build another wiki, a better wiki, it should also be open source. That's giving back argument. But I mean, I also felt that it would be a good business model to run open source. I mean, one big aspect of that, why I felt it would be a good business model, is that from my point of view, I had worked in companies that had been in competition with very large providers. Like I was at Netscape, it got crushed by Microsoft. I was in a French company that got bought by an American company, and basically the ratio of funding was about 5-1. And my feeling is that if you want to fight as a European company, then you need to find some other battlefield. And open source is a different battlefield. And so that's how I thought at the time. Then over time, I learned the more political aspects of open source, and I got really into it. The digital sovereignty was kind of there in my mind, but I got more focused on how do you do a good software with the benefits of open source as something that will give us a good strategy to build the best software possible and compete with some differentiator. And open source was that differentiator. It didn't work that well as a differentiator for companies, because I found out that companies didn't care that much about the fact being open source. There were some benefits for the innovation part, so somebody that wanted to, you know, investigate wikis, open source was a great way to do it. We had people helping us on the open source software, but it was not a huge differentiator for the development. So at that point, there was the question of funding. So how do you fund it? So I was grateful when I started XWiki. I had a little bit of money in the bank. So from my previous job, I had negotiated my leave. So I had a bit of time, and French unemployment money is very well known in France as the first funders of entrepreneurs. And so that gave me some time to have time to build the software. But I still had to think about, okay, what's next, and how would I hire people? And so that then came the problem, the idea of raising money, and which was at the time like really the way to build a software company. You should go talk to investors and things like that. What I found out is that I felt an incompatibility between what investors are saying. In France, the investors were not very open source friendly. They were more like, what is this? How is that doing any money, etc. In the US, you have investors, you even had investors, the ones that invested in JBoss and stuff like that, that were very much into open source. But in reality, when you look at the way they run the open source companies, that they love the part of growing the community, and at some point they decide to close down in order to increase the monetization. And this is something that ethically didn't feel right for me, and I felt that maybe there is another path, and this other path was just developing through service, through just finding a client and finding €2, spending €2, finding €2, spending €2, and trying to grow that. And we found also French and European research money, and that helped us doing that, you know, like progressively and bootstrap basically the company.
I mean, you mentioned in your presentation the idea of that you weren't trying to maximize, but you're working towards, you know, assets being sustainable.
Yeah. So when you do it like that, you say, okay, you realize one thing is that what's important is not how much money you make. as a company. Not even talking about the goal of a company, but if what's important is to not lose money. If you lose money, you have immediate difficulties. Like you have to handle having an employee less, deciding who should leave. So we went through some crises, like we had the subprime crisis in the life of XWiki, and so the COVID crisis, and so we went through some crises, and I learned through these crises that the challenge was not how much money we were making, but whether we were planning it right, and if making sure that over a certain number of years we make more than we spent, and so to be sure to be able to adjust if there is a difficulty, or to grow progressively, and that the periods of big growth are actually sometimes more difficult than the periods, because you tend to hire a lot and then it stops, so you have a risk there, and because if you don't plan the stop, then you have too many, your team is too big. What I learned is that there is a big difference between the amount and the sustainability. And if you try to think about sustainability, you start thinking different. You start thinking about what makes people happy. Why would they stay? Because it's very costly when an employee leaves, when you lose knowledge. What you want is people staying. And you find out that there's a lot of people in the world that are not looking to maximize their well-being in money. Yeah. They're trying to maximize their well-being overall. And that has a lot of other factors. And for example, one of the things we do at XWiki is we are not in the 4-day week, but we're in a 4.5-day week. And so that's one thing that gives a lot of well-being to our employees. We have a lot of women in Romania, and we're extremely flexible with their schedule. Mm-hmm. And they can handle their kids the way they want. Because at XWiki, typically, we say it doesn't matter exactly when you work, just work. Just do the work, you know, like do what we expect from you. Mm-hmm. But if you want to do it, if your personal life makes that it's better for you to do it from 7 to 15, do it from 7 to 15. And if it's better to do it later, do it later.
Okay. I mean, I think that, you know, touches very much on, you talked about values for your organization or for your company, and we won't go into them today, but it came through that was very important in the founding and the running of the organization. We'll jump through to our last question just to ask you. Do you have any thoughts on Europe's sort of sudden enthusiasm recently for digital sovereignty?
Yeah, so I mean, when I built and started XWiki in France and in Europe, I had occasions to go to the US, and I said I wanna participate to software in Europe, and so for me the fact of building European software was important, has always been important. It's one of the reasons for open source is that I find that it's a great way to do it more European-wide and not just French. You know, like you could just say, I make my software in France, I sell it to French people. No, with open source, you're opening the world, you're opening to the world, and I find that really interesting. And I wanted to always build software that makes Europe more relevant. For many years, we've been preaching, and the open source community in France has always been about digital sovereignty, has been preaching how important open source was to keep independence and stay independent, but nobody was really listening. Now, with Trump, with Trump second term in particular, it makes people realize things that were always there. The Cloud Act has been there for a long time. The fact that it's incompatible with GDPR, the fact that the US can actually look at any data if they want, this has been there for a long time, and it's been a problem. It's just the fact that all the European companies are using Microsoft as their digital system, and that if Trump wants to cut it, it's possible. It's been there for a long time. Now, when they get a president that's much more aggressive, that actually mentions it in some negotiations, mentions the fact that he has some power over Europe, then people realize it a little more. So there is a movement. Is it completely sincere? That's another story, but at least there is a common understanding that there is a problem. Now, it doesn't change the fact that every company is mostly focused by their own results. I'm a big believer in the prisoner's dilemma theory in economics, and that makes that we all collectively make a bad decision when in reality, if we coordinated a bit, we could do a very different decision that would be much better for the collectivity. Mm-hmm. And open source is typically a system that is challenged by the prisoner's dilemma, and that makes it difficult. So if sufficient people start moving, then you can turn around things. In any case, for us, it doesn't really matter. You know, like in the end, what matters to me when I worked in technology and to our company is we want to do the right thing. We want to do something that we're that we can stand for. So we want to eat our own dog food. So if we say that the big techs is bad and that they read your data, and we want to be on the good side of things. So not work for that, work for a company that tries to do it right. That's the idea.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you for your time, Ludovic.
Welcome.